Right on in.
Hell yeah.
Beautiful. So, Julia Loken.
Yes. That's
thank
me.
You for thank you for being here today. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for making time. You are fabulous. You are a comedian. You are a podcaster. You're an actress, correct?
Not in a long time. No one's called me an actress in years, but I'd say so.
But once an actress, always an actress. That is like very actress true. To the bone, to the grave. It never leaves you.
I would say I am rarely paid for my acting, but I would say I have been acting my whole life.
And that's fair. I'd say that's yes. Most actors, right? Yes,
absolutely. I did have like a, I can't tell. It's so funny. There are these things, you're from Los Angeles too. And I don't know if you feel this, but there are things where I just go like, oh God, is this funny and charming? Or do I sound like the worst person on earth? Most annoying, like cliched LA person.
Oh yeah. That happens all the time.
But I did have a moment recently where I was like, you've done all of your best work and none of it's on camera. Like it's all been in your relationships and with the people you know and love, you fucking fraud. Like
that kind of
acting. But we'll get into it with the astrology too. But
yes,
I am to simply answer your question. Yes, I am also an actress.
She does it all, everyone. And I met you at the Chatterbox at the open mic on Thursdays. And you podcast, I podcast, and we decided, why don't we combine forces and do an episode? I talk to you, you do my birth chart, we shoot the shit. I think it's mm-hmm. perfect.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There's nothing I like more than looking at someone's chart and telling them things about themselves that they probably already know. That's the thing. Like, I don't know. I think sometimes, I don't know. I was like, going to be like, am I saying something that people don't already know? But also I think sometimes, yes, I don't know. I love it.
It helps. I feel like I've never had my birth chart read. And
I know,
over
I'm
the
so
years,
excited.
Yes, my listeners have asked me, they've been wanting me to do it and I've been holding off. This seems like the perfect time because you do have an astrology podcast. What's Your Sign podcast? Mm-hmm. I was tuning in this morning to your most recent episode and there's just so many details to astrology that even if you think you know your sign and what it entails, you probably don't know everything. And sure. So that's the type of detail that I'm hoping to get from you today, like really dig in, tell me everything.
Well, we'll dig in. I also will say though, I think astrology, something that I love about it is it's the kind of thing where I think you can never know everything. There's always something new and it is, you know, your natal chart itself is a wheel. If you don't know what a natal chart is, that is the thing that you are looking at. The thing that we're going to be talking about today is your specific Mala natal chart, but everyone has a natal chart. It's a picture of the sky when you're born. It lets you know the location of the sun, the moon, and all of the planets that we use in astrology. But it's, you know, you'll never be done. You could stare at your chart for ages and think of new ways and perspectives that's going to happen. It's a thing that also like lasts a lifetime. I think it is the same. It's not, I don't want to say it like a replacement for therapy, but I think it's the same way where it's like, if you're in therapy as I have been for many years and that where I'm like, you're constantly going like, oh, I had myself figured out. And then you encounter a new situation or you think of an old memory from something. And then you're now on this new journey of reframing everything you ever thought about yourself because of this new information. And I think that is something that astrology also does for me where I go, oh, I know where everything literally is in my chart, but every time I look at it, I notice something different. I notice a relationship between planets that makes me think about myself and how I'm interacting differently. And so I think it really is something that you can never know everything about. So it's not so much I think that's something that's like a barrier to people engaging with it. Cause one, it also is truly like a different language. If you don't know I'm speaking English and you can understand the words that I am literally saying, but it also sounds like gibberish in a lot of ways where you go like, what? I heard house, I heard planet, I heard a sign that I know, but I have no idea what any of that means. And so I think that it's confusing and scary and anxiety producing for people, because it also is this thing where you, if someone is good at it, they can tell you all of these things about yourself that you are like, oh, I know that. And I hear these words, but how did we get here? But I think that the best way to engage with astrology is not necessarily to try to figure it out. It's not a thing that you necessarily have to know how everything works. I think it's more about hearing, like, and maybe this isn't true for everyone, but this has been definitely true for me, is like reading about one thing that you kind of have been drawn to, and let that kind of lead you to the next thing and the next thing. Cause I think it's hard to understand how astrology, I think, sometimes like relates in your life, or what you would use it for. What's the point? What's all of this? It's all very like, I don't want to say gate kept, but because there is that like language barrier, I think that people already are probably using astrology. They just don't know that that's what it is. If you're like tuning into kind of what's happening in your life, you're noticing your own personal cycles. You're noticing when your moods shift. You're noticing that there are certain days or times of the year when you have better times and not, or whatever. That's astrology. You just don't know the literal language to it, the same way that like, you don't have to be a doctor to know that you eat when you're hungry. I think that we also know, even if you don't know how the digestive process works, we all have like an intuitive sense of ourselves, stronger in others. And some people have been more encouraged to like explore that and utilize it. But I just want to say for everyone listening too, that it's like, don't be scared. Just hear if it works for you, hear something that works for you, and kind of let that guide you and let that follow. Because I also think that, you know, astrology is also literally timing. And sometimes you're like wanting to read everything, and we'll talk about why you want to read everything too. And we're talking about your chart, or like why you want to know everything.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes there are also things that like aren't necessarily going to make sense to you yet, depending on your age, depending on where you are in your life, depending on how that planet is interacting in your chart and things like that too. It's the same way when you hear someone who's like significantly older than you talking about how their body hurts or something like, mm-hmm. Oh, I get up and my knee hurts. And it's like, you can understand when you're younger scraping your knee, but you can't understand like getting out of bed and hearing those cracks or whatever. And I think that that's also a thing too, where it's like astrology is like every day and your life and everything. So like, you don't have to know everything now. It's patience and let yourself learn and experience it too.
Yes. And as they say, like the universe reveals itself, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Like,
it'll show up somewhere.
Yes. I've absolutely found that to be true in my life with using astrology. It's something that I actually, despite having had a podcast about it for several years, have really, I would say only in the past year and a half, been really dedicatedly and intentionally utilizing it for myself. I love telling other people how to use it or what their information is and kind of deciphering that, but using it as an actual tool for like contextualizing my experiences, understanding. I use it mostly to just be like, why do I feel like this today? I feel I feel fluctuating, or I feel this, like, is there a way that I can frame this so I can use it and understand it and not make up a story about why I'm a bad person, why I'm a failure, why I'm not doing what I'm, whatever. If I know that what's happening is kind of supposed to be happening, and there is something for me to be observing, there's something for me to be understanding about myself, there's something for me to be looking for in my interactions with other people, then all of a sudden the world becomes a thing that's like open for business, instead of me going like, I can't go out, I feel bad, I feel this, I feel that. You go, oh, well, you're having a tough moon transit. You're actually supposed to go out and engage with some people because you're going to learn something new about how you process emotions, or you're going to have a conversation with someone that really informs how you're going to think about this in the future, or you're going to go out and have a great time. And now you're going to know the next time you have this kind of moon thing to go, actually, as much as I want to stay home, I should maybe go out because I'm having a Mercury transit, and that's about friendships and communication and systems and, you know, whatever. So I think ultimately too, it's all about like getting to know yourself and other people. What's the point?
Absolutely.
You know?
And it's like very basic, right? Like the birth chart stuff is, do you know when you were born? Mm-hmm. Like, let's start there. Do you know what time you were born? And we can, you know, find out a lot based on that. So I love the idea about like getting to know yourself, getting to know others, because it's really just like facts about you and that are being reflected back to you. Right.
Absolutely.
And I feel like sometimes you need that third party to look at you and give you an assessment, a summary, because we have a hard time seeing ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, you just can't, you can see yourself in a mirror, but even through that, you're only looking through your own eyes. You're only hearing through your own ears, you know, all of it. We're never going to be objective. We can't be. And so I think you're right. Having that thing where we can at least say it's a place. Yeah. I think it's a place where you can ask questions about people. Am I like this? What am I, how do you see right. me? What am I, how is my energy being received? Cause I feel like this, but are you feeling that when you talk to me? And do you feel, mm-hmm. do you feel this same way that I feel? I'm always having these spinning thoughts. Is that how you feel like when you're having this, you know, experience of life?
Yeah. Am I imagining all of this? Mm-hmm. Am I nuts? Yeah.
I also all think it's it. Like less, I don't want to say less magical because it is very magical, but also not, it's not magical at all. Because I think like you were just saying, like, do you know what time you were born? Do you know where you were born? And do you know the day? Because it also is like, that's literally when you start. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know you are in your mother's womb before that, but you have not like entered Earth time yet in the same way until that moment. And I think it's the same thing that we would ask anybody, like, well, how long have you been working here? How long have you lived in this city? Where did you move from? All of those are things, again, that contextualize how to understand where someone is at in their like growth period. How old are you? How should I be talking to you? We do it again in all of these ways that has nothing to do with astrology, but also is what we're going to talk about with astrology. You wouldn't talk to a 5-year-old the same way you talk to a 45-year-old. You have different expectations for them and you have different understandings of how they're going to use what, like how in control of one's emotions should you understand someone to be, how communicative, aware of who they are and what you're putting out there should, like, can you expect someone to be? And then we get into the, you know, finer points of understanding people's personalities, but also like that's already where you're born, what time and what day already, I think, says a great deal about one person, whether you know about astrology or not.
Yeah. And honestly, people clown like the girlies who ask about signs in the dating process. But the things you just described that we sort of need to disclose about ourselves to engage with astrology, it basically sounds like a dating profile. Like, it's a lot of the same info is being sourced in these other formats, job applications, dating profiles, credit checks. They're asking a lot of the same info. Who are you? Where are you from? Where were you born? Where do you reside? What do you do? Mm-hmm. And drawing conclusions based on, it's like the same info.
Yeah. And I think the thing that makes astrology tricky is that I think it can often be a conversation stopper instead of a portal into knowing each other if someone is not fluent in astrology. And that's something that I understand, like with my podcast too, where I talk with two people all the time who we are all very astrologically literate. And I can understand, like, if you don't know that, it's like we're speaking a different language. And it, I think, is made all the more frustrating because you do literally understand the words, but you have no idea what they're talking about. And it's also a way, just like anything. But again, I think that it's not unique to astrology. Someone else hears, oh, I'm a lawyer, and goes, oh, a lawyer.
Yeah.
I know about lawyers. Yeah, I never date lawyers. I never do whatever. If you're a person who's interested in letting that be a jumping off point, I think you're going to be interested in that no matter what language you're speaking. But I think I can also understand, I'm trying to be understanding and sympathetic and, again, because I think this is a way to talk to people and to get to know them and to kind of have a shorthand towards intimacy. Is that a good thing? I don't know. I'm a Scorpio Mercury conjunct Pluto. So I'm like, I want to be inside a person immediately. I'd like to know what it's like to be you. Who are, like, whatever. I know not everyone is like that. And that is not necessarily a good thing. I'm aware. Again, like I said, tons of therapy. Also, please do not suggest therapy to me as a replacement for astrology. I have done both. They are not mutually exclusive. Yeah, also, how do you think I got good at astrology? Because I didn't go to therapy. Come on.
You have to have some like emotional awareness.
Yeah.
You have to be able to navigate these things.
Yes. Yes. And I think that also it's just like anything, take everyone and everything with a grain of salt and whatever. But yeah, I just think a lot of the complaints about astrology are not exclusive to them. They are complaints that we would have about any sort of conversation stopping, discrimination, painting with broad strokes. But it is also like, I don't know. That's why I think if people don't know their birth chart, and again, not saying that you have to know everything, but if you don't know at least your big three, which again is how we know that is the day you were born, the place you were born, and the time you were born. Again, that's different than saying, oh, my friend has that birthday. Well, that's not really a conversation. That's one where you go, oh, okay, cool. Like you can say, does she like having a birthday in August? Did you have a lot of summer? You can talk about that. But then once we get further in, then now you're talking about yourself and your unique experience and all of that, which again, that's what your birth chart is. There's almost the statistics of one person having the exact same birth chart. It's something like one in millions or something. So people truly are one in a million. You are also one of billions.
No, right.
So we can share, even if you share a birthday with someone, the likelihood of you being born at the exact same time, at the exact same place. Think about that. Like even in a hospital, how many babies are being born at that one thing? Babies are being born as we speak all over, but at the exact same minute at the thing, like it's still different. So I think that another people also, I'm rambling so much. Feel free to be like,
you're good. Nah. You're good.
I think another thing that makes people nervous about astrology is that they go, oh, well, so everybody born on the same day is this. And it's like, no one said that. What we said was people born on this day are part of this kind of archetypal family. There is at no point that someone says, oh, you are only these things because of your here. What you heard is someone is trying to categorize you in a way you don't understand and you're not sure if you like it. That's a different thing.
People pick and choose when they like blanket categorizations and when they don't.
Yes.
Because a lot of people are very confident with still, especially with our like whole like Andrew Tate takeover that's happening right now, like poisoning the young minds. Like people are still very comfortable with, well, boys are better, boys are smarter. That is a generalization that a lot of people are super comfy living in and like do not need to ask about it or question it. Or all boys have penises, you know, like the gender essentialism and such. Like the essentialism is like great for folks if it serves them. But then like you take something like this, like astrology, and then there's this like really aggressive, like defensive, like visceral reaction. Mm-hmm. Like, well, how are you going to tell me that we all have this thing in common? How dare you?
Yeah. But even that where I go like, oh, okay, your birthday's in summer. It's fairly likely that over the course of your however many year lives, you probably had a pool party birthday. You as a Capricorn probably resented summer babies who always got to have a pool party birthday, and you had to have a birthday right after Christmas and all of the stuff when everybody just was having a party. And it's like all of the, what are the party decorations in stark January versus party decorations in May to July? And how does that then form how you feel about your birthday and what you think about every other day of life and all of those, like all of these things, again, I think are just not as out there as we think. I think people they conflate the like causality, saying like, oh, are you saying the moon made me do a thing? And I'm like, no, what I'm saying is here's where your moon cycle, this is your moon cycle or whatever. Like just the same way people are morning people and night people, and that like, if you work at a certain time, you have to get up at a certain hour. And do you like that? Or do you not? Like, how do you feel about how your schedule is imposed on you. Are you a person who really likes schedule? Are you a person who's not? Are you this? And I think it's just, it's easy to, our society wants us to fit into broad, not individual things, because then we don't have to think about people as individuals. We don't have to care for people. We don't have to have conversations with each other. We don't have to ask a question every time we talk to each other. But the reality is, everyone is fucking different. There is no scenario that we're ever in where you are talking to exactly the same people who have been to exactly the same places as you, and all of like, it's just, yeah, I don't know. I love astrology, and it makes me go to all of these heady, wild places like you've just heard. And I could talk and think about it forever, but we can talk about you because that's what we're doing.
I think it's a perfect topic for, like, this is Mighty Juanetta, a podcast for potheads. And I know I encourage my listeners to light up and tune in. So they're getting high, they're smoking. And this is a great place for us to take our audience, because I know they're pondering these very same things.
Yes, absolute one. I mean, of course, there's nothing I love more than having stoner boners for astrology. I mean, I'm like, I'm always taking my notes app looks psychotic. From just sitting at home.
So good.
That is a term that we'll use often. Like, I got a stoner boner question for you, stoner boner thoughts. I think weed and astrology, for better or worse, depending on how you feel about these things. I know your listeners feel better. They pair very well. I think it also, I said to a friend of mine, something that I like about pot is that it does seem to slow down time. Whatever you're smoking, it does alter your sense of time and presence and like how you are engaging with the world. And I do like that it makes you slow down to like think about these kinds of things, or also opens and frees you to kind of free associate and go where you don't feel like one thing has to lead to another. You can go off in these places. And I think, again, that's like very much what astrology, I feel, is here for us to do, is to be present in the day and take it as like, it's just a transit. This is one day. It's not going to be like this forever. And also to go, oh, whoa, I never thought about how, you know, I've been communicating like this, and how does that change everything that I've ever said, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's a trip.
It's literally a trip, a good one. And I am going to make my listeners wait till the end of this episode to hear my birth chart reading. Okay. So
you're in charge. You're in charge.
We're going to get these listens. We're going to get these minutes. I love analytics. Hell yeah. You guys are going to keep listening. So before we get there, I wanted to ask you, like I ask all my guests, about your relationship with weed. We talked about a little bit your relationship with astrology, with therapy. I love to talk about weed. I love to talk about comedy. And then, like, how do they all intertwine, braid them together for us?
Yes. Well, I love smoking weed. I feel like I am in process always with substance and relationship. I am definitely like a eating disorder person. I am not an addict necessarily. I'm not in any programs, but I definitely have, I'm on the spectrum. I would say I'm in the vicinity. And weed to me is something that actually feels kind of the opposite of those things, as much as it can also be a pathway to eating too much, to, you know, doing whatever. It feels like something that actually really keeps me in my body in a way that keeps me present in a way that those other substances do not. And so I've utilized it a lot in doing kind of like body work stuff, in really trying to be gentle. And I have some Capricorn placements myself. So that is something that I feel like I've used predominantly since the pandemic. It was not something, I think, to just the like legalization of it all, I know that that also is like deeply problematic and layered, and, you know, we don't have to get into that because I am not the person to speak to that.
Yeah,
but I think it was I think for me it was more of, I remember smoking in high school and loving it and having a thought at one point going, oh, I think I'm actually more of a pot person than an alcohol person. But because of the way that you had to get weed, and I kind of am a prude about following the rules, because I am a person who also feels like I suffer consequences immediately, and a person who is not above consequence. And so I've been like, if I buy drugs, I'm the one that's going to get caught. I'm the one that's going to, you know, get in trouble. I did one of, like, the first time I got high, I was in a car with high school friends, and we got pulled over by the cops. I was the only one in the car who was 18. Thankfully, because of systematic racism and white privilege, I did not get actually arrested or in trouble, but it was enough. It was enough for me to go, yeah, see, your every belief you've had about yourself is right. Like, you get in trouble. So this is a thing, like, whenever offered, I would say yes, but wasn't a thing that I had my own kind of intentional relationship with. And then as I've gotten older and we became legal here, and then just when I knew who else smoked weed, I think that's another thing too, where there's so many connotations socially about, like, who's pothead and all of that. Even though I always love potheads, are like my fucking favorite. I love potheads. I love of all time and IRL. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's yes. I am that kind of person. I love doing exactly what we're doing.
My people. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it is, again, it's like very much a relationship of coming to understand who I am, who I want to be in the world, what kind of, like, energy I'm bringing places. But definitely in the pandemic, my husband is sober and from alcohol, and I was like, I'm not gonna, like, drink by myself, but then found myself smoking much more pot and loving it, having a fucking amazing time, feeling great, feeling very gentle and happy and open and loving. And I don't know. I can tend very hard. And I think alcohol exacerbates that in a way that marijuana doesn't.
Yeah. Weed also gives me major, like, goddess in the garden vibes, as opposed to, like, if I'm drinking, I'm, like, surly, like, tavern maid, like, brawling, like, you know, like, it's a very different energy.
Yes. And I'm trying to be garden goddess. I'm putting on music. I'm doing yin yoga for hours. I'm stretching. I'm writing down things. I'm crying. I'm just, like, very, again, I just like anything that really is, like, forcing me to be in my body, because a lot of times that's, like, the last place that I want to be. And it's also, like, the only place any of us literally are is in your body in this moment. Yep. Now. And so the more we can, like, be approaching our lives from that space. And I think that is also a thing that makes a lot of people uncomfortable with weed. Because I think it does. A lot of people don't feel good. A lot of people feel awful, and rightfully so. Again, not in a like,
You should feel bad.
Yeah. Or not in a minimizing way where it goes, like, some people don't love themselves. I don't mean that. I mean, like, life fucking sucks. It's hard. People are dealing with incredibly difficult, complicated emotional and physical circumstances all of the time. Your body is often not a safe place to be for you. Like, it's, again, often it's the place that we want to leave the most. And if you have not done, I've been fortunate enough to do, like, somatic therapy kinds of works too. I was a dancer. I am also very kind of, as much as I just said, I hate being in my body, I also am very comfortable and familiar in my body. And I think that if you have not done that, it's terrifying. When people talk about the paranoia, the anxiety and stuff that they get from smoking weed, I very much think, I'm sure people have chemical responses, and also there are people that just aren't weed people, and that's fine too. But I think a lot of it is, if you've never, like, zoom, like, felt that, like, in a movie effect where you're just, like, all of a sudden here and feeling everything, all of it at once, I think that's, like, a pretty, it's like learning to walk again or talk, like, people go, like, oh, someone can tell I'm high, and it's like, no one can tell, the same way that they can't tell you're anxious or whatever, like, they also don't know you're high. You just know you feel different, and that's the you know, not to pathologize everybody's experience either, but
I did. I like, this is resonating, because I was out with somebody who is very straight edge and like has never smoked. And there was a lot of smoking going on around us. So they got a contact high and they were very like, it was so funny because they were like, I'm sure I look ridiculous. I'm sure I look so high right now. Like, I'm sure I'm acting insane. And I was like, you're literally so normal looking and fine right now. Like, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known if you hadn't had said that to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it just like highlights how people feel when they are in that. I would be interested again to be like, I wonder what their like moon sign is or what their astrology sign, what their sun sign would be. Because that to me is also like, if you're a pretty like cerebral air sign heavy, person, then yeah. I think those are the people that sometimes not again, I want to be careful with being like, air signs don't smoke weed. That's not true. Very much not true. But I think it is like the air and earth, all of them, they can be, everyone can be anxious and whatever, but I have noticed in the people that I have spoken with that I know intimately who are like, I don't like how it makes me feel. I go like, yeah. I think you probably just need to like sit still for a few minutes and then you could probably really like weed.
And allow yourself to, you have to allow yourself to like, I think we fight, they're fighting against the high, they're fighting against the experience. And just like anything else, it takes a few tries. You got to smoke a few times and learn how to smoke and what to smoke before you're really in your groove.
Yeah.
I do want to move into the birth chart reading portion, but before we do, I want to say, I noticed that there's a lot of spiritual scammers out there. Like your podcast in particular, people are making fake pages and sliding into the DMs. That happened to one of the fake What's Your Sign podcast pages followed me and DMs me. And they had several thousand followers. And this, it happens to you guys. Like, tell me about this, because it seems to be running rampant in the spiritual online community.
It is rampant. I don't know if it's rampant in other communities, too. I have not given that as much thought, but I have given it a lot thought in the spiritual community. We have been both personally and podcastly victimized by scammers, where it's just people reaching out, making fake accounts. I know making fake accounts is also not like a mutually exclusive thing for the woo-woo community. But I think it's just kind of what I was talking about before, where there's that language barrier. And also because people aren't familiar with like standard practices of what it would be like to speak with someone who is giving you an astrology reading, a tarot reading, human design, any of the like any sort of divinatory occultish, occultish, esoteric is the word that I was looking for. Although some people are occultish too. I just know that that's a scarier word for people. I mean, esoteric, yes. Metaphysical, spiritual, anything like that, because it's not as it's not as like routine in our society. I think that people do go like, well, I don't know. Maybe someone does get for your listeners, what we're talking about is someone will start a fake account and they will then direct cold DM people saying something like, hey, love, I got a vibe about you, or I got a message from my guides and they told me to reach out. We'd like to book a reading with you. Mm-hmm. Send me X amount of money, or you'll start conversing with them and they'll say, just send me whatever you want, whatever. For the record, if anyone DMs you for astrology, tarot, Reiki, Akashic record, anything, any service, I don't even care if it's woo-woo or not. Anyone DMing you cold that you do not know, asking you to book something, is a scam. The same way that you know the hallmarks of like a scam email, just because it's not that like chain that you know from that. This is the same thing. I think just the spirituality community is more vulnerable to that, like I said, because people have no idea what that looks like. Someone might go, I don't know anything about astrology. Maybe that is how they do it. They just get a message from their guide and they ask someone and that's how they book readings. And it's like, no, maybe, maybe that is certainly not how we do it. Not anyone who I know who is worth their salt as a practitioner of any kind is not direct DMing people. It is just like any other service where you request it, you reach them, they take professional things where they have a set price. There is no negotiation. There is no whatever, unless that's explicitly stated in a specific kind of sliding scale way. Like that is different than pay what you want, whatever. If it's a pay what you want and they're sliding into your DMs, they also often will have a completely different email address than what's associated. If you are not booking with someone whose email is their name or their business or whatever, that's scammy. But I think it's just people just trying to take advantage of people who like are looking for answers. And I think that that's, again, we've seen it at a bunch of forums. And right now, just with the internet and the kind of boom of spirituality, it's just a bummer. It's mostly just annoying. And yeah. I'm grateful that I have not had people who have been financially damaged for the most part. I think because people just know after a certain point, you know, if you see the email or whatever, it's mostly just annoying because you're getting a bunch of messages from people being like, is this you? Is this you? Yeah. And then you also go like, how could you think that's me? Like one,
right.
I don't talk like that. Do you think I would talk like that? But then that like, but at the same time, people go like, I don't know. I didn't think that you just don't know. It's a thing that I think is like weird enough that also makes people kind of nervous to ask about it or engage and that sort of thing too. So I absolutely thank you. Thank you to anyone who reaches out about a scam or is concerned or follows up and does it. But anybody who slides into your DMs, just block them. Full stop. Fucking block them.
And I've seen fake message DMs and accounts like for your show. And then I have like my friend Yvette Montoya, the bratty brujita. She's another one that I've seen multiple fake accounts and fake DMs. So it seems like, you know, they're looking at who you follow and who follows you. And they're trying to vibe off of that parasocial thing going on. Mm-hmm. And so they assume the followers are going to have a certain level of trust and they see your picture and your name and, you know,
or they're going to go, oh, she must've gotten her account deleted. This is the same person or whatever.
There so you
it's
go.
Like that. But it's like, you know, there's always five E's or two underscores or, you know, a thing before. So just be mindful. It sucks. It bums me out because I think that this is like a service and a tool that people can be using, you know, to
for the greater good.
Yeah. To love yourself and others and be more empathetic and curious about the world, but also that scammer's going to scam.
Oh yeah. Now, not to bring down the mood, but I did see this article on Twitter because there was a tweet about, article, it's a legitimate source. I'll have to look it up and put it in the show notes later. But there was this tweet about like the text scams and like fucking with them and like responding back. And then somebody, you know, quoted this article that was talking about how there are these call centers where they hold people hostage in human trafficking conditions and force them to go down these long call lists and engage in these scams. So I know that's happening on the tech side of things. Mm-hmm. So all those annoying fucking text messages that you're getting could very well be from a human trafficking victim who's being forced to text you and scam you. I don't know if that's what's going on Instagram, if it's part of the same wave, if it's different, but just saying it's nefarious. It's dark energy. It's bad news.
Well, I mean, all systems right now are not functioning at a high level. So, I mean, as much as I don't want to be like, oh, poor scammers, it's also like, if people weren't like trying to make money, and if this wasn't a thing that you could absolutely leverage and do, if it wasn't working, if it wasn't also a thing, like it wouldn't be doing it. And it's also, I think, just like evidence of where we are not caring for each other in a way that's helpful, that in a way where people don't feel like they need to scam people and take advantage of people and all that. Maybe that's human nature, maybe that will never go away, but I also think it's like, well, yeah, if everyone made living wages and all of this kind of stuff, you know,
this is not happening because things are going well.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'm sure scams and trickery and you know, malintent has existed through all of time. Sure. Yes. But this is one that is particularly a sickness of our age. And I don't think can be
so true.
I don't think can be removed from those other things. But that's a, you know, that's a heady conversation for another bowl. you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's another dispensary run.
Yes.
For sure. So dear listeners, you all have been smoking. You're probably at the end of your fucking blunt or whatever it is that you're smoking. And it's time for the birth chart reading. Now, Julia possesses my most personal information. So we're not going to literally broadcast dates over the air, but Julia is going to tell us about me. I know you guys tune in and you think, who the fuck is this bitch and what is her deal? Well, we're about to find out.
Yes. We're going to talk. I think we can keep it again without, like you said, we're not going to share dates. We're not going to share info, but I think we can definitely talk about your big three. That again is, like I said, this is date, time, location. What you need to find out these three things. And I think if you are new to astrology, knowing these three things is really going to be kind of the gateway to understanding anything else. Before we understand these concepts and placements, I think everything else is kind of just going to be noise and oversaturation information. You might still find some stuff that's resonant, but it's like, without understanding these things, I don't know.
Gotcha.
So you are a Capricorn sun, a Capricorn moon, and a Cancer rising.
Oh.
Which is interesting because you have the sun and moon in the same sign, which I love and I think makes you an excellent performer and communicator and someone who is interested also in, like, someone who's able to connect with people and transmute information in that way, because you, and you can tell me if this is true to your experience of yourself, I find that people with sun and moon sign in the same sign often are not feeling particularly conflicted about who they are against how they feel. So you are able to go like, I'm trying not to spin out into too many places because I know
go off
a lot, but conceptually speaking, our sun sign is the one that we know from our birthday. This is our kind of core identity. This is one that we, that is not as, this is more ego. This is our kind of life force. This is what we, who we believe ourselves and feel ourselves to be, that we are kind of, I don't want to say necessarily most proud of, but I mean, it's the sun. It's the one that we want the most light on, the one that we want to be most elevated and seen and shared and projected out. So that is our sun. Our moon sign is more about our physical and emotional state. The moon changes signs about every, or I mean, like moves through the sign, through the 360 of the zodiac about every 2 hours. So the moon changes and moves fast. We see it literally in the phases of the moon as well. Our moon sign internally for us is what, that which is more in flux. So while your identity does not change every day, how you feel about that identity might, depending on where one's sun and moon are in relation to each other.
Very interesting.
And I think for you, having the sun and moon in the same place, it is kind of easier to feel aligned and united, and that you are a one, that you are like, you are who you feel you are, and those things aren't there. Whereas if someone had a moon sign, maybe in an opposite sign of their sun, you might go, I feel soft and this, but I know I'm a strong, independent, capable person. But then why do I always feel so anxious? And that, like, there's more of a back and forth. Cause another thing in astrology is like, we know where the planets are, but how are they talking to and relating to each other? How do they see each other? Also influences there. And for you, you have a ton in Capricorn, all more or less in the same spot. So for you, a lot of things are kind of in the same place and connected and related and aligned. Does that feel true to your experience of yourself?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes, that definitely tracks. I think I'm pretty self-assured and pretty confident in who I am. And I think I feel very like I'm a tornado emotionally. I'm a tornado like IRL. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that might not be the right word, but that's kind of the energy that I feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it feels consistent.
Yes. And then on the, I mean, I guess not the flip, but it is the flip. Opposing all of this on the opposite side is your Cancer rising. Everything in astrology has an opposite, and Cancer is actually the opposite sign of Capricorn. So while we have all of this alignment over here, we have your rising sign and the opposite sign. Our rising sign conceptually, we know from the location and the time of our birth. What this is the, what it literally is the horizon line in our chart. If you're looking at the circle, that's your natal chart. That's the line that goes across the center horizontally. Okay. It is where we are born. Oh goodness, I don't need to explain all of this. I always have to overexplain, but I'm like, you don't need to know this. Our rising sign is our like physical front facing self. It is our like the literal we're on a podcast and I'm doing a lot of act outs. it is like when you first meet someone, it's your first impression. That's both the energy that they are picking up and also what we are intentionally putting out. Too. So some of that we can't help. Some of that is just like who we are and how people feel about us and what they project onto us. And some of that is also, I like very much, like I said, everything in astrology has opposites. Sometimes our rising sign is very much informed about like what it is that we feel is our best. Who are we when we're putting our best foot forward? What is that best foot? And that comes both from what we want and like about ourselves, but also what other people and interactions have told us are our best parts, if that makes sense. For you, having this Cancer rising in the opposite sign is, I would say that while you have all of this alignment, I would say your front-facing personality is much more soft and nurturing and kind of flowing and watery. Cancer is a water sign. It's ruled by the moon as well. Mm-hmm. So we have the moon, like we have moon influence for you in that rising sign. Again, that kind of goddessy. I'm soft and open and ready, which is also going, I know my first foot forward can't be like whip crap. Hello, I'm a Capricorn. Like I'm wearing a suit. I'm cracking a whip. I have all the money. I have all the power. We gotta like invite them in a little bit with our goddessy, sexy hair flowing, roller skating, just literally on the waves, you know, this kind of like going with the flow. Again, I'm doing a lot of things like this is very much our like hypnotizing spell we're casting to bring you in before we like hammer you with all of this Capricorn on the other side of our chart.
That's so accurate.
Yes. So for you too, having all of this Capricorn in your, I would say you probably feel most yourself in relation to other people as well. A lot of your Capricorn is in your seventh house, which is the house that rules partnerships of all kinds. That's like face-to-face dealings, not necessarily. I mean, when you're going to read something on the internet, it's most likely going to bring up romantic partnerships because that's the one that we kind of care about and find the most confounding and have organized our lives around the most, but it really refers to any partnerships that can be business partnerships. This can be therapy relationships. This is friendship partnerships, creative partnerships, whatever it is where we are working face-to-face with someone, negotiating each other's like needs. And for you having your sun and moon, all of those, I think having partnerships in alignment, having partnerships be clear and where you can feel maybe sometimes leaning in control versus authoritative and grounded and in your power. Definitely whether or not you are in relationship or not, I think that those senses of who you are and how you feel come from your relationships themselves. That's definitely, again, not necessarily saying you have to always be in one or whatever, but that is how you have probably contextualized and figured out who you are is within the context of being how you've been perceived in relationships, how relationships have gone, who are you in a relationship versus alone. And I think that's true for a lot of people, but for you, I think it's going to be very
in relation to relationships, right? Like,
because
even abstaining from a relationship and staying away from it is you're still like engaging with it and trying to fit yourself against it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so how do I, Capricorn energy also is constantly, you know, Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, which is a planet about kind of rules and restriction and tradition of it's sturdy and stable. It's things that are literally hard. Saturn rules bones. Capricorn rules like knees and teeth and skin, these things that we need to last a long time that cannot be, that need to like I guess, move, but also not. Like, but Saturn and Capricorn are things that we don't want shifting and moving around a lot. Capricorn is also about that kind of build and ascension too. So I think that Capricorn energy is also constantly measuring itself against mm-hmm. both itself and others. So mm-hmm. I think this also can mean, you know, how do I compare to my peers? How do I compare to someone else who's been doing something as long as me? How do I compare to someone who has a similar thing? There's a lot of like data collection and that sort of thing in speaking of like the relationship versus not, thinking about like, who am I, look, where do I rank? What are those things? Capricorn is also interested in kind of the, getting those badges, getting those, like not trophies in the sense of like winning, although that can be there, but it's not so much. I don't think of Capricorn energy as much about the like competition. I want to adversarially, like I'm better than you. I think about it more as this is a benchmark letting me know that I have achieved a goal that I set out to, or I have like met the standard. I have passed the class. I have earned this score on the test, and therefore I can move forward to the next thing, knowing that I have reached the step that I was supposed to. So again, that like Saturnian Capricorn energy is very much about patience, about doing things the right way and reaching all of those steps.
Mm-hmm. I love this because I joke with my mom all the time, like, Mom, I'll see you when I have another like accomplishment to give you. Like, I'll be in touch once I've achieved this other thing. You know, like I joke with my parents, like, this is my relationship with you guys. Like, I go accomplish something and then I come bring it to you, and then I go accomplish it. Like, this is what we do. And I think it's so funny because Capricorns, right, just by nature of the time of year that we're born, going back to the beginning of our conversation, you know, it's end of December, beginning of January, end of the year, beginning of the year. So we're born into, and our birthdays are a constant like overlap with like New Year's resolutions and new beginnings. And how did you do last year? How did you do this year? Like, what are you going to improve upon? And so it's just like constantly built in to your birthday season, and just you're reminiscing and on yourself in this place.
Absolutely. And it's also, I mean, and also just to say that there are like different astrologies from different cultures, depending on where they live, where they might have different understandings in the way they're, I'm speaking from a very Western tropical astrology point of view when we say these things too. But yeah, I mean, it's the dead of winter. It's the winter solstice. It's the darkest night. And it's like, when you are born at the darkest night, where do you go from there? I mean, you got to be like, things have to get better. Things have to go up from here. I'm born in the coldest, darkest, you know, poorest time or whatever. Like, after had all of the stuff we've just, you know, we're using up. This is the like scraps of food that we're using before we get to plant again. We're at the like, you know, it's a scarce, sparse time. But I think that's also one that goes like, okay, well, if I can get through this to get to that next thing, like spring is coming and I'm going to have to, like, it's better to be starting and doing this now when it's still dark out or whatever, than to wait to work. Like, who has time? How much further are we going to be if I start now, if I don't wait for it to be a beautiful day to be working hard and getting out there, what could I do in 10 times as fast as everyone else? And how high can I go? You know, Capricorn's ruled by the sea goat. A lot of people forget that sea part of it, because the goat is just like cute and whatever, but it's also a mythological creature, you know, Capricorn, of a thing that does not actually exist in waking life, because it's able to both and I think because you have a Capricorn moon, you'll understand this, where it's like it's able to swim deep and be in these waters and kind of be both like two worlds of maintaining and containing emotions and also achieving great worldly success too. But that does not mean that you are not still like a sensitive emotional.
Oh yeah.
If you're constantly like looking, I think of Capricorn moon energy too, is kind of like, you're walking up a tall thing and you keep going like, is this okay? Like, like, okay, I'm still going. Okay. You guys are good with this. Okay. Everybody cool. I'm going to keep climbing a little higher and higher and higher, but
yeah.
And then you kind of sometimes also get up to like a top of a mountain and go like, oh, it's just me up here. There's no one out. Like, fuck, like what did I do this for? Why am I here? Why did I work this hard? Why, like, there's no one here to enjoy this with me. I'm alone. No one can answer questions. No, I can do these things. So there is definitely, you know, it's not all trophies and accomplishments. It can also mm-hmm. be a kind of lonely, harsh, cold, again, thinking of those like winter mm-hmm. things where it's also like, you know, that's intense, but I think it is one that's a resilient sign and one that can process if it especially learns to be gentle and understanding of and patient with themselves as they reach these accomplishments, instead of going, I need to like keep my head down and keep going. Mm-hmm. I can't come up until I get it. Remembering that you are like, you're the sea goat, your head's above water the whole time. And you just got to kind of like know that you're, sometimes you got to tread and chill, but you're going to be fine. You're not going to drown.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love the sea goat. Love being a Capricorn. This was such an insightful, beautiful reading, Julia. Thank you. You're I feel so very welcome. Seen and uplifted and like energized. I don't know. This was just like really invigorating.
That's what I want people to feel when they hear about their chart. Cause that's what I think it is. Is it someone else to tell you, you know, why you're great. What's going on and why something might be hard, because I think that that's equally as important to validate and contextualize and recognize for people, because we want to know that we're okay and that we're normal. It's fine that we feel different or whatever, or feel intense or feel how we feel. So I'm glad that you feel that way.
Yes, Queen. I appreciate you. I want all my listeners to make sure that you guys head over and tune in to What's Your Sign podcast for more readings and insight from Julia and your co-hosts, who are also comics.
Yes, Lisa, we're all Stevie. Lisa Chanu, Stevie Anderson. We are all very funny astrology babes. Listen to What's Your Sign, follow us there if you like astrology or want to learn more. We have a huge back catalog too, where we've kind of gone over every topic too. So I know it can be a little bit intense to jump into, but I promise, like I said, don't worry about figuring everything out. Just listen for what resonates with you and let that be your starting point.
Love it. All right, listeners, this has been Julia Loken from What's Your Sign podcast, joining us here at Mighty Juanetta, podcast for podheads. Make sure you leave us a review, give them a follow, give Julia a follow. What are your Instagram handles?
You can follow at What's Your Sign podcast on all platforms. And then you can also follow me at Julia Loken on all platforms. I do readings myself, and you can do that on my personal page.
Fabulous. And that concludes our interview. We did it. We're all done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This was so much fun.
Very fun. I'm going to go ahead and stop us right